direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together, and I think the phones will work because I spent 2 hours driving to the other studio. Now, if they still don't work, then I give up, but I think it should be absolutely fine here. Never mind. It's like that. It leaves me speechless from time to time. All right. Also leaves me speechless how many people are willing to let AI manage their money. But as I say that, considering the track records of some financial advisors, maybe that's not such a bad thing. But Advance America, a loan provider, decided they would explore a new national survey. So they rounded up 3,000 adults, which when you say a national survey is not all that many people, but nonetheless, and they asked them one question. What's the maximum amount of money you'd feel comfortable letting AI manage for you? Now, that's a loaded question. That's a lot like, when did you stop beating your wife? All right, so they're assuming that that answer is above none, which would be probably my answer. Though, as I say that, I think that if AI is going to be tasked to do anything, since really what it is just deductive logic at its finest, it probably would be pretty good at this task. Well, of course, depending on who's doing the programming, I do suspect. All right, so now, what you find out is Californians top the list, not so surprising given Silicon Valley and everything else, where the average person said they'd let AI manage $46,788.74. Actually, nobody said that, I'm sure, but that was how it averaged out with all the answers they got. The least, if California's the most, Wyoming. They said $3,571.86. There again, it's an average, so I'm sure nobody said that. And it makes a little sense when you look at it. Now, in terms of what type of financial decisions you'd be willing to lend a hand over to artificial intelligence, well that varied. 31% said, well, we'd let it choose our stocks. 22% said they'd let it buy cryptocurrency. There again, these questions are loaded. This surmises that you'll buy cryptocurrency in any method, which might be a specious assumption to make. But 15% said, oh, sure, AI can rebalance my 401k. Now, that's not only investing, though. 31% said they'd trust AI to file their taxes. Now. All right, the benefit of having an accountant file your taxes is much greater than just they'll do it right. It's in fact that when you get that dreaded audit letter, your accountant can go. I don't think that the IRS is going to accept, well, AI made me do it. Yeah, you're going to have to show up. So there you have it. But 25% said they'd trust AI more than their current financial advisor, which didn't surprise me at all, but apparently greatly surprised the people at Advance America. They said they were stunned at that. I guess they haven't seen the average financial advisor. And that's the deal with that. 27% said they'd prefer AI over their own partner managing joint finances. Well, that might be wise, all things considered. And, you know, as far as that, there'd be less arguing, that's for sure. Whether or not there'd be more trust, well, I don't know. It's a whole other topic. But I'm pleased to say that there was very little in terms of response where people said they'd let AI make large financial decisions without their input, like a major investment without telling them first. But they say only 17%. I think that's an enormous figure, period. I would hope that nobody would let someone, regardless of what it is, your financial advisor, AI, or, you know, the dog down the block, make a major investment decision without your knowledge and hopefully input as well. So 28% said they'd be willing to let AI plan their retirement. 26% said they'd take out a mortgage based on AI recommendations. Oh, man, the scammers, I can just see it now. All right. And, of course, you know, we're talking 27%, 25%, whatever, 28%. Well, that means the majority are still unconvinced that AI can do the trick. And so it's certainly not a trend that has become ubiquitous, but it is one that is either encouraging or disturbing, depending on where you stand. So that's what I thought we'd talk about, and we did. All right, if you have any comments, that's great. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. I'll take your requests, too. We'll try to play them. I'll be playing, 11 of them tonight, because that's what we've got for bumpers. Billy Bob and Bourbon A is going to have a request here in a moment. But if you listen to this show, the one thing I know about you is you love radio. So here I am again, the C. Crane Company, ccradio.com. Yeah, as I was telling you last night, I was at a dinner Sunday, and a person who's not a listener of the show and not necessarily that savvy, I mentioned, and I don't remember the context, but the C. Crane Company said, oh, the Select Antenna, I have one, it's the best thing. And yeah, that was, I think, the first product that Bob Crane sold, the Select Antenna, and it was a gem, but it was fueled by Bob's disgust over the state of radio reception, and he figured he could do it better. And I'll tell you what, put that Select Antenna in front of an AM radio and it will perk it right up, no doubt about it. I don't think it's made anymore, at least not through the C. Crane Company. But since then, there have been dozens of radios that Bob Crane has designed, and the thing that they all have in common is terrific reception, AM and FM. And like when I say terrific reception, we're talking Wi-Fi radio. Well, it'll connect to even the most sluggish wireless access point, wireless router that you might have. So yes, even there, reception is king. But as I say, several from which to choose, and one more interesting than the next all the way around. And I've been talking this week about the CC Skywave SSB2, and it is just a jewel as far as that goes. It's the perfect travel radio. For one thing, it has a scannable VHF aviation band, so you can see what our traffic controllers are saying. But for another thing, it's lightweight. It fits in the palm of your hand. It has 400 presets. It's got both 9 kilohertz and 10 kilohertz tuning on AM, which if you travel can make a big difference. It's got a tremendous FM section as well. It's got, of course, NOAA and the NOAA alert and a clock, a dial light that's kind of nice, and an alarm and all that. So it's a rotary volume dial, stereo headphone jack, and it's the perfect travel companion all the way around. You get the terminal antenna adapter for shortwave, and you get a portable 23-foot shortwave reel antenna and the original CC Buds. I'll tell you, for a radio this small, it sounds great coming right out of a little speaker, but if you want it to sound terrific, use those earbuds, and it does. I'll tell you what, the bottom line is that a lot of people these days, well, I listen online. Well, the Skywave SSB2 is going to give you information you will not get online as far as that goes. And so when you are in that emergency, maybe you won't even be able to go online, but you'll have a radio that day to day you can listen to your favorite AM or FM stations. Like I say, with 400 presets, you can have a lot of favorites, but during those essential emergencies, you will be prepared. So check out the CC Skywave SSB2. Go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. Now, if you're saying, but I can't go online, well, all is not lost. You can give them a call, 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. And they're there 24 hours a day. They've got tremendous customer service. They'll answer all your questions. You can order by phone. Or if you just want a hard copy of the catalog, it'll take your address and mail you one. So whether you're calling 800-522-8863, or whether you're perusing online, which I suggest you do, with one caveat: this catalog's so good, you're going to find something you just got to have. But while you're there, look at that CC Radio 2E at ccradio.com, and you tell them that Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
only give you love that lasts forever, and the promise to be near each time you call. And the only heart I own for you and you alone, that's all, that's all. I can only give you country walks in springtime, and a hand to hold when leaves begin to fall, and a love whose burning light will warm the winter night. That's all, that's all. There are those, I am sure, who have told you they would give you the world for a toy. All I have are these arms to enfold you, and a love time can never destroy. If you're wondering what I'm asking in return, dear, you'll be glad to know that my demands are small. Say it's me that you
adore. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And it was Rita in Harwood Heights said, play some by Nat King Cole. I couldn't think of anything better than That's All. Well, I could think of a few things, but I played them recently. But That's All is my all-time favorite record, one of them. Probably my top 10 all-time favorites. And the version that I love, East L.A. girl that I sort of am, musically at least anyway, 1965 by The Midnighters. Yeah, and Chattahoochee. I just love it. And so while I was doing pop standards as a disc jockey, of no note whatsoever, I mentioned on the air how much I liked The Midnighters version while I was playing the Nat King Cole, obviously. And someone had called and said, well, you know, there's over dozens of people who did that, the understatement of the decade. And I said, well, I'd like to hear them. And so people started to mail me versions of it. It turned out that That's All was done by over 500 people. That's right. I didn't hear all 500, but I heard some really nice ones too. But I heard some of the worst versions of That's All. I mean, unimaginable. I think I'm still injured hearing the Ricky Nelson version. I really do. But nonetheless, it certainly was done very well by Nat King Cole, obviously. The second version, same time, by the way, and Nat recorded that in January of 53. It wasn't released as a single until October, but also released in October of 53, Tommy Edwards did a version of that. So, all right. So that was Rita in Harwood Heights, and we've got more of her requests coming up. But Billy Bob in Bourbonnais has his own request, and something tells me it's nothing like That's All. So, all right, Billy Bob, what is it you want to hear?
46, time caller.
Oh, absolutely.
How about Roy Orbison, What a Thrill?
All right.
And then I got called in 45 minutes. I wouldn't miss the show if you did my last request, Whistle Stop Townhouse. I thank you, but I don't, because I didn't hear it after the 45 minutes.
I don't blame you. I've still got it on the list, and
okay,
it will be this week for sure. I don't know if it'll
be
tonight.
And then one more thing, and I'll let you go. You got like survey questions in case you ever run out of ideas. Here's a good one for you. It's estimated that over 80 to 90% of the world population has at least one of these. And if you want the answer, I'll give it to John off the phone so that
if you
want to use it.
Yeah, absolutely. I look forward to hearing that. Hang on. Don't go away. All right.
All righty.
Hopefully John is paying attention and will know that he needs to pick up the phone and find out after he's done screening a new caller, by the way, a first-time caller. Good, I'm excited about this. Putting Billy Bob on hold so we can get that question, because I want to know. That's right. Expiring minds want to know. So 888-876-5593 takes us to John. He's a first-time caller in Wheaton. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I got a question about a song that I heard when I was a kid. Must have been late 1950s. Okay. And it was School's Out. And it wasn't Alice Cooper. It was
Of course not. Well, what's interesting about School Is Out is that there were different versions for every city. And so that became very interesting. But you're talking, it was on Le Grand, Gary U.S. Bonds, that was the hit.
No. No, you want, I listened to that.
You want to, it isn't, do you know, have you heard the Gary U.S. Bonds version?
Yeah, I think I saw that on YouTube yesterday.
All right, and you listened to it, and it's not. Okay, well, was it High School USA?
I don't know, all I remember is when it starts, it says, no more school, no more books, no more teachers' dirty looks, and it sounds like a three-girl choir, you know, singing the start of it, and then the song starts along. And that's all I can remember. And it's been driving me nuts trying to find this stupid song. So I figure I call the Queen.
Well, yeah, right, exactly. The Queen is failing you right now. And I think it was No More Pencils, No More Books, as far as that goes. But I remember the song, but I'm trying to think who that was. No, it's not High School USA, because that starts out High School USA. And depending on where you were, you got a version of that. I will find this, because unfortunately, the phrase is a phrase that's been around forever. So I can't do a lyric search that way. But or everything and their brother and every kindergarten class that ever existed will come up. But what I will do is I'll find this. So as far as is that, and so girl group as far as the backup singers, was the primary voice male?
Well, I think so. I think it's been a long time.
Well, yeah, the 50s. So, yes, it has, absolutely. It's a wonder you remember it all.
I know.
Yeah. All right. Well,
it could have been. It could have been early 60s. Also, I'm not sure.
Yeah. You know? Well,
it was in that range.
All the years blend together after a while, really. And of course, there were so many school songs, things like "School Day" by Chuck Berry and all that. I mean, there were tons of school songs. So that makes it hard to search as well. But that's what is going to make it interesting for me. I will find this.
All right, just so you know, I've scoured the YouTube internet and all that, and Google, and it doesn't pop. It doesn't come up.
Yeah, that's not the word I'd go with it. All right. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see what I can do. We'll see how good I am at this or not. Thanks. Appreciate it. And call me back. Appreciate it, John.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. So now I have my marching orders. That and find Peter Kanz's phone number for Johnny, because he wants that air check of KYOK in 1965. I haven't forgotten. See that? So if you know, that's very familiar to me too. But like I say, that unfortunately that is such a tried and true phrase that you can't do it that way. But you know, I bet you one of you knows it. And what's really embarrassing is I probably have the 45 sitting behind me. Yeah, it's like that. But if you know, tell me. We're going to get to Ruth and Gurney. She's going to talk about AI. Yeah. It was really mind-boggling when air traffic controllers, some of whom said, well, you know, it'd probably be better than us. Well, I guess that's admitting something. We'll find out what's going on in the world at large here in a moment, so as far as that goes. But hopefully you remembered the new moon and wrote your prosperity check last night, if you're into that. If you didn't, well, I can tell you the next full moon, not that you'd want to write a prosperity check on that, would be July 10th, the Buck Moon. All right, so all that and more coming up, and I'll be playing your requests on WGN Radio.
Get it.
WGN Radio. I'm sure that's not it, but that's the first thing that came to mind when I was thinking about schools being out. That's the Adorables, and that was on Ed Wingate's Golden World label in Detroit, and about 1964. And yeah, a couple of groups of sisters, the Lewis sisters and the Winston sisters, did that. Schools all over. It's like I say, not the same wrong. Popcorn Wiley was a co-writer of that, by the way. In any event, I'll keep thinking of it, but that one came to mind. All right, so 888-876-5593. Bob is a first-time caller. Welcome to WGN Radio, Bob.
Hello, how are you?
All right, thank you for calling.
I'm your newest fan. I started listening because of the simulcast between our powerful New York station here in the middle of the dial and your late-night program, so that's how I found you.
Oh, okay, yeah, of course, WABC. And he won that fellow won the election, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Good for him. So now, the latest I heard today, rumor, of course, but was that Curtis Sliwa is the front runner for governor. So is he still on the air?
No, he's not. He was taken off as well as Frank Morano.
All right. So he's serious about the campaign then. All right.
Curtis is running for mayor on the Republican ticket.
Yeah, the mayor. That's right. Mayor. Right. So, do you think he'll win?
Probably not. I think not. Unfortunately.
I want to talk
about New York radio. I'm a lifetime New Yorker.
Oh, all right.
Grew up in the '60s. I had my radio under my pillow, listening to Cousin Brucey and Scott Muni.
Okay.
And love them all. Do you know Alex Bennett?
I certainly know the name, and that's sort of after me. But yeah, absolutely. A friend of mine is no longer alive, sadly. Ruth Meyer, who was also a Storrs Broadcasting alumni, went to WMCA as program director from about 59 to 68.
Yes, he was on WMCA as well as Leon Lewis.
Right, but I think Alex was on after Ruth was out.
He was on the very, very late 60s to the early
70s. Yeah, right, exactly. And Ruth was gone in 68.
Yeah, and then he went out to San Francisco.
Yes, absolutely.
And now he does a podcast. He's still around.
Good
he's
for
about,
him.
He's 80 and still does a healthy podcast.
Okay.
Brad Crandall.
Oh,
long
sure.
Time.
Yeah, Brad Andy. Crandall is great.
Long John Neville, Candy Jones.
Yeah, well, and Long John, of course, Mutual hired him when they got rid of Herb Jepko, the Nightcaps. They hired Long John and Candy to do that. And, of course, then Long John had cancer and died, and that was sad. But of course, Long John, who would talk to people in front of the Horton Hard Art Automats, and sometimes they were from other planets.
Yeah, and Barry Gray and Barry Farber.
Sure.
I'm sure you know them
both.
Yeah,
absolutely. You haven't gotten to Gene Shepard yet. Talk about words.
Oh, love him. Yeah. He could tell the story.
Yes. Yes, spellbinding, truly.
Absolutely. So that was my childhood in a nutshell, other than the New York Met games under my pillow as well.
Okay, all right. Well, I was probably a little more of a WWRL girl, but an LIB, but that's it. Well, you probably love New York Rock My Radio, so maybe I have to play that for you.
Sounds good.
Yeah, the Jerry Diefenbeck.
WABC and WMCA listener.
Right. Yeah, before that, of course, WMGM with Peter Tripp, the curly-haired kid in the third row. And, of course, WINS. I loved it when Murray the K would come on when Group W bought them from the McCoys. And agree a zoop D is W station. Yeah, that'll go over well. So, yeah.
I think that was just slightly before my time. I'm 69 years old.
Oh, all right. Well, yes, just slightly is right. But yeah, Murray was great. And of course, you were listening to MCA, so even though you didn't hear him on one of the soul stations, you probably did hear Frankie Crocker.
Loved him.
Yeah.
If Frankie Crocker isn't on your radio, your radio isn't really on at all.
Right. Truly the eighth wonder of the world. After me, there shall be no more. I'm going to get close to you, Mama, closer than whites on rice, cold on ice, a collar's on a dog, and a ham is on a country hog.
Wow, I can't believe you said that.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, you don't eat chicken on Sunday.
This stuff is burned into our heads forever.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Totally useless knowledge. Thank God I'm at least on the radio and get paid for it. Otherwise, completely useless.
Lovely, lovely stuff. Well, thank you so much for this. I really appreciate it. I've been wanting to chat with you for a while, so here I am.
I'm delighted that you called, and I hope you will, and I'll play. I will again, and I'll play Jerry Diefenbeck for you.
Thank you so much.
All right, thanks.
Lovely to chat with you. Take care. Have a good week.
You too. All right, so 888-876-5593. Now, if you're not a New York radio listener, you might not even know who Jerry Diefenbeck was or New York Rock My Radio, but you'll hear it next on WGN Radio.
This is Alan Freed. Back in 1951 in Cleveland, we coined a phrase that became the biggest pop musical era in the world. The words rock and roll.
I used to listen to the radio, the sounds of yesterday are what I know. From Cleveland, Alan Freed came along one day. He brought a stack of wax that paved the way. Tintin Winds had Lacey and Murray the K. Mad Daddy following the swingin' soiree. Peter Tripp with the curly hair in the third row. Frankie Crocker, Dr. Jive, and Jocko had all the soul. Paul Sherman was the crown prince way back when. Al Jackson, Rocky G, play that Motown again. New York rock my radio. Rock and roll. With Jake, Dandy Dan, and BMR. Oh, how we love that radio blasting in our car. J.O.B., Gary Stevens, and Dean Anthony. We wore our good guy sweatshirts for everyone to see. On ABC, Scotso made his name. After all those years with Ingram, we'll never be the same. H.O.A., Bobaloo, Bob Dayton, Charlie Greer. Playing top 40 music for everyone to hear. Harry still spins along with Ron Lundy. Cousin Brucey will always be part of my family tree. New York rock my radio, rock and roll radio. New York radio, rock and roll radio. I still listen to the radio. The sounds of today are part of what I know. There's 30 years of oldies on CBS FM. So good to hear those records on the airwaves again. Mr. Music looks back and the years don't stop. Donkey Reed spins the platters in the doo-wop shop. Don Bob's behind
WGN Radio. Yeah, they came out in 86, and of course, as you would guess, CBS FM played the heck out of it. But Jerry Diefenbeck, New York, Rock My Radio, and that was on Pominock Records, probably the only thing on Pominock Records as far as that goes, but that's all we needed. And yeah, there's the longer and shorter version. But, you know, this is more recent than we were just talking, but MGM was great in its day, and it was great when it was an MOR station too, and I loved their jingles.
He was a U.S. Marshal, and Jerry was his name, so they called him Jerry Marshall, and widespread was his fame. He went to catch the outlaws, Bob Callan and Ted Brown, who were rustling old Dick Shepherd's sheep and herding them to town.
Sing a song about West and hero men, never ride the range again, they're on radio, WMGM.
And it goes on from there. But yeah, those MGM jingles from that period of time, and of course the CFL jingles from the Chuck Bloor days were the ones that captured me. But yeah, and of course the names you heard on that were the lineup basically at that time on MGM. So Ruth and Gurney, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. Good evening.
What's up?
Raleigh.
Yes.
What are you going to do when they take your job, artificial contamination?
Hey, I'm ready right now. You know?
Yeah, I know. You want it, but yeah. You're never going to give up the ship.
Yeah.
I guess you don't know. I will be the computer with the human mind and tell you that you're never going to give up the ship.
Oh, don't say that. Don't
You'll
say
be
that.
The
no.
Last
No, no,
You'll
no.
be the last one left in all of radio land.
God help us.
Still there answering the phone and taking the calls. I predict that. Now, that's not premonition. You realize
yes,
I've had hundreds
yes.
and hundreds of premonitions
yes.
in my lifetime. And I want someday to bring some of them forward so you can hear them because they're interesting. And then now the next thing is the artificial AI contamination, as I call it. When I get it on the phone and it's moving very quickly, it's almost like a storm that comes up from nowhere. I tell the phone artificial contamination, you do not exist, you're broken, and I disconnect. I disconnect. And
good.
You know what? I've got other comments to make about it, but I want not to forget my request for songs.
All right.
And also, do you think artificial AI will replace the palm readers, the gypsies, and the tarot card readers?
Oh, I think it already has. I think probably a third of the stuff you hear on YouTube of these prognosticators probably AI.
Well, I went to a tarot card reader once in Kenosha, Wisconsin at the outlet store.
Uh-huh.
And it was $10, and I figured, okay, for $10,
that's right.
I'm going to try it out.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything that I really was
totally
interested in, but I felt I could get some answers. And the guy said, he said to me, I never get the lover's card. Never. It was really interesting. He did get that. Mm-hmm. So I wondered about this now with what they will come up with in that arena. With this AI.
Oh, they will, but you know, Ruth, that's kind of fun in a way. What scares me, and not to suddenly get political because we don't do that here, but the reality is that I was stunned that the FCC didn't order disclaimers on some of the political ads that were AI created. And you can go online now and you can see just about anybody have with words put in their mouth that they never said. And those ads scare the living daylights out of me, and I think that they should be disclaimed. I think if it's television, there should be a crawl on the bottom of the screen saying, you know, that it's AI produced. Otherwise, and you can see this on some of the things that are going on right now online and all that, just about your favorite personality, I don't care, it is your favorite actor or whatever, they're hawking every product in the world. Well, of course, it's not real, but it's frightening as hell because it looks real.
Okay, I do have more comments to make, Bob, but I'm going to save it for another day. I want to ask for the anniversary today for the Little Bighorn, either the anniversary or whatever, and you know...
What are you going to ask for, please,
buried,
Mr. Custer?
I'm buried in New York in another life. I'm buried in New York.
All right.
So I wonder if AI could come up and tell us all, he hasn't got the balls to say it, though, tell us all who George Armstrong Custer is in this life. I leave clues.
Well, I'll tell you, however, I guess I have to play Please, Mr. Custer for you.
No, I asked you once for that one, and you didn't do it, but
I will. It's hilarious.
Okay, so my request was for the Andrew Sisters, which is more on your part, the Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy of Company B, because he survived the Little Bighorn, and so did Libby. Libby survived also. But anyway, the other one would be New York, New York. I'd like that one. Not only had I been there to West Point in this lifetime, the story with that was I didn't want to pay for a hotel room on Long Island, so I thought I'll go sleep under a tree in Central Park. And there were bums sleeping on trees all over the place. So needless to say, I didn't sleep under a tree. But just as I was leaving, I met two people, fellas, that were stationed there at West Point. And I happened to go up to that military post in that city back in the 1960s. So my request is for the Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy.
And you want it by the Andrews Sisters. You don't want it by Bette Midler.
Well, no, you can do what you want.
Well, okay. No, it's whatever you want. I just mentioned that because that's behind me. I've got a copy of that. But I can find the Andrews Sisters, too. It's probably on the hard drive.
Well, it's kind of like a really unique one, as they are incredibly...
Oh, they were great. They were great,
No one... AI can't compare to them.
No, they were terrific.
Try to replicate the Andrew Sisters. It will never be done, not by AI, and even another person, even a tribute artist, couldn't come near what they did with their voices. But when you do a cover, it's always interesting to hear what the other person has done with a song that we're real, you know, knowledgeable about, hearing it on the top charts and things like that. So I like to listen to your barometer whenever you choose a substitute.
No.
So the choice is yours.
Yeah, and I'll be happy to play that.
And you're sounding much better this evening.
Well, I'm in a better studio. I made the two-hour drive to this one. Unfortunately, the other studio is somewhat broadband challenged, but here it's pretty solid.
I never use that word. Everything is fortunate.
All right, well,
fortunately, on a fortune cookie. Good night.
Thanks, appreciate it. Yeah, the Andrews sisters. If somebody requested Hold Tight, and I got to play that. Yeah, Shrimps and Rice are very nice. Yes, Shrimps, plural, of course. And but that Boogie Woogie Bugle, that was a V-disc. And anyway, I will do that. So 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. There was something else that I had seen earlier, because, at this point, like an hour before showtime, it occurs to me maybe I should think of something to talk about. And I do my due diligence and look at see what's around. And one thing that I saw that was interesting was the cities with the highest risk of lead paint exposure. And it doesn't take Einstein to know what that's going to be. It's going to be the older cities because, of course, lead paint wasn't banned until 1979, even though there were people in the 20s who were already saying, there's a connection here. But Chicago's number two for highest risk of lead paint exposure. St. Louis, number one. As far as what's the lowest in America, Gilbert, Arizona, because I don't think they had a house before 1979. But, in thinking about it, you say to yourself, why did they put lead in paint? And there were a few reasons for that. One is you could get more vibrant colors, but also it dried faster. So, there was less moisture problem and all that. So they thought, gee, wouldn't that be swell? Just like they put it in gasoline, got higher octane and all that. But nonetheless, outlawed in 78, so all the houses built 79 and more recently don't have it. But when I was looking up to find a little more about this, I discovered something I didn't know, because I always assumed that, much like asbestos, that if you left it alone, didn't do anything to it, you didn't have a problem. Wrong. This was a shock. True, if you're in a situation where you've really kept the house up and it's really clean and all that. But if you've let things kind of slide by, like everybody else in the world, dust can have lead in it. And I'll tell you what, lead poisoning is serious, serious stuff. And of course, most definitely for young children, and the development delays are just horrific in that. But older people as well is horrifying. But so the biggest problem is with some people these days is, do a little do-it-yourself project. Before you do that, you might want to check to see the status of whether you've got any lead paint there or not. But anyway, if it's a newer city, they don't have much. If it's an older city, it's all over the place. They paid money for this service. Somebody did. So we'll continue next hour. We'll get Jim in Richmond. He's got an update. And there's plenty of room for you and your requests coming up on WGN Radio. All right, well, I'll keep talking to myself. I can do that. And probably I had another minute to go, and Adam wasn't in the studio. So that's, exactly. Adam said, talk till 57:45. Right? Okay. And that's always a great thing to say, because, of course, when you're asked to talk, what do you say, right? All of a sudden, you're just a magpie talking a mile a minute. But then, when it's on demand, suddenly, you think it's like mic check, same thing. I always use things like Country Joe on the Fish records. You had an invitation to ride shotgun in a parade this morning, and I declined for you. Yes, okay. Bright Suburban Mr. and Mrs. Clean Machine from the Together album. Yes, for those who think that I've never heard an album, rock album, that I hate and I liked, that's one I did, actually. All right, on WGN Radio. Ooh, ooh, the wine, ooh, ooh, the wine.
I live in a whistle stop town where everyone thinks I'm a clown, because I like to hear the train whistles blow. Just because the trains never stop, they say that I'm gonna blow my top. But I like to hear the train whistles blow. They don't know that you're coming back to me.
One day the train will stop and they will see. I know the train will bring you home. I hope and pray it won't be long. That's why I like to hear the train whistles blow.
Bring her back to me. Bring her back to me. Bring her back to me. Bring her back to me.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and of course that's Louis Prima with Sam Butera on sax, Don't You Know? And The Witness is Whistle Stop. Most interesting thing about that record, 1957 on Capitol, by the way, was that it was written by Jimmy Breedlove, and he was a very interesting guy. He was probably the main backup singer on Atlantic in the 50s. I mean, all the great Yellow Atlantics, he was on them. And they never would release anything with him as a vocal. And he had groups to the Q's. He's in the Q's. And maybe we'll have to play one of the Q's records coming up because he was great. He was great. And he did stuff under his own name as well. RCA released some stuff, but nada when it came to Atlantic. I don't know. All right, so 888-876-5593. Jim in Richmond, what's up tonight?
First off, I want to ask you, how are you feeling? Because you've been mentioning that you're not feeling very well.
Well, I hadn't been getting any sleep, and today was kind of no exception. But we came home to the studio, and I'm going to sleep tonight and tomorrow, and I'll look forward to that. I got to go back to do some tower work this weekend, but at least for tonight, I'll be sleeping and looking forward to it.
And could the phone system be affected by the solar flares?
No. I think more than anything else, at the other studio, the broadband provider is not the best. It's all I got. And their upstream is just abysmal. And so I've been working with some people to try and get something, an alternative, and maybe eventually I will. But I think the upstream is the culprit more than anything else. But I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to bring another ATA when I go back Friday night. And then Monday I'll try another ATA and see what happens with that.
Okay. And is my sister's health?
Yes.
She's in this rehab place.
Yes.
And my brother got her into it in Glenview, Illinois.
Uh-huh.
And he was happy the last few days with the rehab. Today he goes there and in the middle of the afternoon, and she hadn't been to rehab yet. And he goes, what's going on? And, well, she's not scheduled, He says, what are they going to do at 8 o'clock tonight? So he was very upset. So he's going tomorrow, and he's going to demand they do it 3 times a day because she has to be able to, move around on her own.
All of this stuff, sadly, is governed when you're talking about Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are different levels of rehab, and you want it to be a rehab hospital, and so
mm-hmm.
hopefully that is the case, because if it's other type of skilled nursing that isn't just a rehab hospital, you don't get the same level of rehab, period. So,
right.
assuming that she's in a true rehab situation. I mean, you mentioned Glenview. I assume she's not in Citadel.
That would be nice.
By the way, it's basically like hotel like rehab. But there's a number of others as well. But the big thing is that it be dedicated to rehab and not be anything but. So, but in terms of how mm-hmm. often they'll do it, that's governed.
Right. And he just wants, he said that she has so many days on this rehab to Medicare.
Right.
That, he said, she could stay here for $230 a day.
Yeah, right. Well, you don't.
And then he says to me, "How much does a hotel cost?" And I go, "Last time I was in a hotel was 12 years ago. I don't know."
Yeah. Well, Part A, which is the Medicare portion that covers it, usually will cover up to 100 days of inpatient rehab. So the first thing to find out is, and Medicare pays 100% after the Part A deductible, which she's long passed. From day 21 to day 100, it's a coinsurance. Now, I realize she's on an Advantage plan, which, of course, that
right.
is a big difference, unfortunately.
He said they'll pay for 20 days.
And that's it?
Right. They'll pay for 20 days, and that's it. You know?
All right.
And then, you know, he just jokingly said, what does a hotel cost? Because he never goes anywhere,
right.
You know.
Right, no, well, so. Yeah. That's unfortunate. But it is governed by the amount of hours per week that have to be given. So he can find out what that is.
But she's becoming more aware of what's going on and everything. And he said he was so surprised that she was frustrated she couldn't go to rehab.
Good.
And that you know, motivated him to say, let's do it three times a day, you know.
Normally, so, I'll tell you, just rule of thumb, and I think this would be true for Advantage plans as well, but normally it's 3 hours of therapy a day, 5 days a week. In other words, it's 15 hours within a 7-day period. So that's the 3-hour rule and the 15-hour rule. And so he can hold them to the fire to make sure she's getting the 15 hours per week. And he can ask her, what hours are they doing it?
Right. He was saying that the hospital she was at, the rehab was 3 hours a day.
Well, that's
Medicare would not pay for it.
No, that they do. It's 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. Now, it doesn't have to be like Monday through Friday, 5 days out of seven. And Medicare does pay for that. So
they wouldn't pay for it. That's why he had to transfer her out of the hospital to another rehab place.
Right, but they'll pay for it in the rehab facility.
Right. But so I should tell him that it's 3 hours a day,
days a week, 15 hours a week. I don't think, I could be wrong, but I don't think that the Advantage plans, even though they love to slice and dice, I don't think they can get around that. I mean, they can limit it to the 20 days. Now, if she had a Medigap policy, she'd get 100 days, but easy. But in any event, I don't think they can get around the 15-hour rule. So that's something that should be available. And these are things that are very well known. I mean, Medicare, the CMS, publishes this stuff. So that's the deal.
Right. So I should have him look into that. He's fighting heck.
That's what he wants. That's what he asks. He asks them, all right, it's 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. When are you doing this? Give me the schedule.
Right. And now for me, I went to the retina specialist today.
Right. And, it's Wednesday.
I went to the retina specialist and I was surprised. I walked in, they took pictures and all that. And then all of a sudden I go into the room for him to come in and they have already getting ready to give me Eylea HD shot.
Uh-huh.
He hasn't even looked at their pictures or looked at my eye yet. So he was all ready.
Right.
So to give me a shot because it was scheduled. So I turned to him and said, will you please look at my right eye? Because he knows they did the surgery on it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I've been having days where it's very uncomfortable and stuff like that. And they took the pressure in that eye, and it was 28.
Okay.
So I was totally ticked off because they were doing the surgery to lower the pressure.
Right, and 28 is pretty high.
Right, so he looked at the eye and he goes, the tube that they were supposed to, you know, put deep back in the eye, he says it's sticking way out. You need to talk to Brian, because the doctors talk by first names. He said, you need to talk to Brian, because if that becomes infective, you're going to lose the eye.
Yeah.
Lose the eye, not just lose
I know. I understand the words.
Right.
Believe me. Yes, well, you should talk to him. You should get an appointment stat.
So 2 hours later, we get to the glaucoma specialist, and I told him what happened. And he went and he looked at the eye, and he goes, he was mad because of the fact he did the surgery, and that was supposed to put the tube deep in the eye. But what it did was the swelling in the eye after the surgery pushed it out.
Yes, yes.
So he said that we got to do something. We either going to have to go in and stitch it back in, or we're going to have to take the tube out.
Right.
But the pressures are too high. And he goes, I don't know what we're going to do. And he said, I'm going to have to, you know, talk to, you know.
Yeah, to Brian.
Basically, he had, well, this was Brian. He said, I have to look at what's going on. And so he gave me some salve to put in my eye so that it won't become effective, because I've had that salve before when they've done other surgeries on my eye.
Yeah.
So he goes, put the salve in. I'll call in a prescription so you can have more. He gave me this little tube.
Right.
And so I, you know, now I have to wait to see if I have to go back in and have surgery. And then he goes, well, I don't know where we're going to do this, because the one in Lincolnwood where I had the last, they were fantastic people.
Right.
And then the other one was Illinois Masonic way over near Cubs Park. And I don't, you know, want to do that. So I don't know what they're going to do. So I'm left off at the, when they call me, waiting for when they call me. So he said, I've sent a prescription for more salve to put in your eye.
Right.
And so I called the pharmacy. We didn't get nothing.
Oh, God.
So he was probably so busy in the office, he forgot.
Or the office staff didn't follow through. Yeah, call, because that's that's electronically transferred. So you will call tomorrow.
Right.
But, yeah, stay on them, because, you know, whatever they need to do, whether they remove it or whether they implant it further, they need to do this quickly.
Right, and that's what I'm so frustrated, because I went to all the expense.
I know.
You were supposed to take care of the tube and take care of the eye.
Well, that part is something they couldn't control. That's your body. But what they could control was, they should have had a very quick follow-up where they could see how that was doing. But now they know, and whatever they do, you'll ask them to follow it up quickly.
Right, and now I'm waiting for the scheduler to call me.
Oh, just a joy.
And I'm to the point where, what's going to happen next?
Right. Oh, exactly. And, yeah. Waiting for the next shoe to drop. Exactly. Sometimes I feel like I'm a centipede. And, yes.
Right. And my brother said, what else are they going to do to you? And my other brother, who's helping my sister, says, what else is going to do to you?
Well,
here's
the answer. It's the practice of medicine, because they're still practicing.
That's exactly what I was about to say to you. They're still practicing.
That's right.
But he did make a statement to me, and I really loved that statement. He said, as doctors, we don't want you to lose your vision.
No kidding, said, Sherlock. Absolutely.
No. He said, and we're working very hard. He said, it was Brian. He said, Jack and I are working very hard to save your vision, but we're doing the best we can.
Well,
thank you.
Yeah, well, the best you can is a follow-up regularly. You know, it shouldn't wait till you go back at the next routine appointment.
Right, but I go every month.
Every month, hell, after something like this, I would hope you'd be going every week.
They won't pay for the shots in the eye.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the shots. I'm just talking about checking on the surgery.
Right, well, that's what he's doing right now. He's finding out what he's going to do next.
Well,
but
good luck.
I just go. What next?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know? I relate. Yeah. Yeah. Why me, Lord? I got it. Believe me. But sounds like you're in good spirits, and that's three quarters of the battle right there.
Well, I was upset, and now I'm mad.
Well, that's good. That's a level upward.
Right.
All right.
And thank you. And
we'll talk to you soon.
Thank everyone.
You betcha. Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, so we'll hear on Jim's next saga. But I would think that they would at least want to check on the surgery each week, not necessarily the shot or what have you. But then again, what do I know? 888-876-5593. Oh, we'll get to Jim in New Hampshire. And there's room for you, too, on WGN Radio.
Goodbye, girl. Goodbye, girl. Goodbye, girl.
I'm Raleigh James. That's Johnny and the Heartbreakers, 1962. Goodbye, girl. And that was one of the four that Sergeant Pappy had requested. So we'll get the Cool Gents, too. Just can't help myself. And we did play Come Home Soon, The Intruders. So that would leave Johnny and the Echoes with Heavenly Lovers that will come up, too, if not tonight, certainly this week. All right. So 888-876-5593. Let's see. We'll get to Stacy in Algonquin, of course, but Jim in New Hampshire are going to do that. And plenty of room for you, too, coming up right after the news, right here on WGN Radio. James, yes, just wonderful. Sergeant Pappy requested it. The Cool Gents, don't you know? I just can't help myself. You say it sounds a lot like D. Clark. That's because he was lead singer at the time. Originally, Cicero Blake was lead singer, one of my faves. And a group member, by the way, Teddy Long wrote that, who remained in the group. But in 1953, some of the members, three of them actually, left. One of them was Cicero Blake. And that's when D. Clark came in as lead. And John McCall came in as lead and all that. And, of course, as Abner was famous for doing it at VJ, when he decided that D. Clark would make a fine soloist, he yanked him from the group and started putting out singles. And so John McCall was the new lead voice after that. As far as Teddy Long, who wrote it, well, he went on, along with John McCall and Doug Brown and Johnny Carter, joining forces with Perkle Moses, you know that name, ex-lead singer of the Eldorados, to form another edition of the Eldorados. So that's what happened there. So 888-876-5593. Stacy in Algonquin, what's up tonight?
Oh, Raleigh?
Yes.
Hi. No, I was listening to Jim, and I just wanted to send him Stacy's special blessing on everything, because believe me, I know. I've been through plenty, too, and you just get so I'm going for my mammogram tomorrow, and then I'm going to set up my other appointments. But yeah. I felt so bad. I hope everything goes fabulous, and he's got all of my blessings.
Well, thank you. That's so nice of you to say. Now, did you remember to write your prosperity check?
Oh, I did.
Okay,
I did, Raleigh.
Well, then let me know what comes to you this month.
Oh, I sure hope so.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be money. Just a jolt of good luck.
That's right. Thank you.
All right.
So if I don't talk to you tomorrow, you and John, you have a fabulous, fabulous weekend. Okay. And I hope you're feeling better.
Yes. Feeling good enough maybe to climb part of a tower. We'll see.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
You have a wonderful week, and you take care.
All right, you too. Yeah, there's a ubiquity dish I just got to get to. It's a long story. All right, so 888-876-5593. John in Covington has a song question. And what would that song be?
Well, here's the thing. My wife and I, we were playing backgammon while listening to the Reds game. Anyway, long story short, after the ball game, we listened to records, or not really records, but music, let's just say.
Yeah.
We can't decide, and we both feel the same way. So I told her that I would ask your opinion. Now, the song I Say a Little Prayer, which do you like better, Aretha or Dionne Warwick?
I don't care for either of them, but I probably would pick Aretha. But I don't care for either of them because I don't particularly like the song.
Yeah, well, I tell you, it's one of those things, and we both feel the same way. It's like, what the heck? If you ditch one, it's like, how did I keep the other, you know? I mean, it's just
well, like
weird.
I say, if you said, you got to hear it, I'm going to force you to sit in this room and hear that song, I'd say, oh, play the Aretha version.
Okay. One more thing.
Yeah.
The song, the Herb Alpert song, This Guy's in Love with You,
yeah.
She sings, Dionne Warwick sings, obviously, This Girl's in Love with You.
Right.
If you ever listen to that, and I know you're busy, woman, but
well, no, I'm aware of it. As far as
yeah,
as far
oh,
as
I know you know the tune.
Yeah,
but see if you agree with it. See if you don't think she's got a slight head cold while she's singing.
Oh, that's
that.
Funny. And, well, you know,
that's not a knock. I mean, I'm serious.
By the way, you know that that's a Burt Bacharach, Hal David song, and Dionne Warwick was damn near the demo singer. I mean, anything that they did, she was singing. And so,
oh yeah! Oh yeah!
So I wouldn't be surprised. But of course, the Herb Alpert version was the huge hit as far as that goes. It's interesting in terms of hearing both Bacharach and David tell stories about that song because they don't match. But nonetheless, that's the song. But it wasn't Dionne Warwick or Herb Alpert who did it first. It was Danny Williams, if you remember Danny Williams, and it was...
I've heard the name.
Yeah, it was slightly different lyrics, That Guy's in Love, and in 68, he had an album out, and it was on that, and he was South African, and of course, most people think of him because there's one hit here, White on White, Lace on Satin, Blue Velvet Curtain, that thing, that was a major hit for him. I think it was a top 10 U.S. record here. So anyway, that's the first guy to do it. So if you're ever having a fight about that and say, is it Herb Alpert or Dionne Warwick, say to yourself, no, I'm sorry, it's Danny Williams, just slightly different lyrics.
I'll keep it in mind. I'll tell you one real quick thing. While we're listening to the ball game, playing backgammon, we played the best 3 out of 5, and then the winner, or well, you have to pay for a chocolate malt the next day. Anyway, okay, so we play the best 3 out of 5. The only way she can win is to roll double fours. What do you think came up?
Double fours.
Hello, darling.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Girl power.
Yeah. Well, good, good. It sounds like a good time was had by all, well, at least by one.
Oh, yeah, we, you know, the older we get, I'm so blessed. And I've got my share of health issues, but I hit the jackpot when I got her. I really did.
That's great.
Thanks, Raleigh.
All right, I'll try to play the Danny Williams for you so you can hear the difference. The lyrics are slightly different, but it's the same song.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, good deal. Thanks
Bye-bye.
For calling. All right, yes, yeah, that guy's in love. All right, so what are we doing here? I believe we're doing a couple things, actually. Full board of calls, so let's say goodbye to John, which frees up one line for you as far as that goes. And I'm saving Jim, of course, because he and I will talk forever about radio, so hang on, don't go away, Jim. I got some requests coming up, and got Naoto from Japan checking in, so all that and more coming up right now. And yeah, I'll look for that Johnny Williams. I know it's here on WGN Radio.
You see that guy, that guy's in love with you. That guy is in love He looks at you the way I do. When he smiles, I can tell you know each other very well. Why don't you greet him? You know, I'd like to meet him, 'cause I've heard some talk. They say there's someone new. That guy is in love, and what they're saying may be true. Tell me now, is it so? Don't let me be the last to know. My hands are shaking, just look. My heart is breaking, 'cause my girl is in love. So much in love. Yes, you're in love with that guy.
WGN and Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's the original Danny Williams, That Guy's in Love, and it was on an album entitled Danny Williams, as far as that goes, 1968 on Durham. And, yeah, he was known as Britain's Johnny Mathis, and he did move to the U.K. When he was, I don't know, probably a late teenager, but he was South African and grew up there and was in the South African Dixies, I think was the name of the group, but yeah, he was touring all that and then did a tour and wound up in, you know, or the Golden Dixie, something, but anyway, wound up in London, and a guy at EMI said, this guy is really good, and signed him to a contract, and then he spent, you know, most of his life in the UK, and died in about 20 years ago now, right now, and young too. He was about 63. He had lung cancer. So anyway, that's the deal on the original That Guy's in Love, which the lyrics, of course, were a little bit different when Herb Alpert released it, but it was actually a good song. All right, so Tubby in Chicago has a request. Tubby, how are you tonight?
I'm fine. I'm sorry you were having trouble sleeping and stuff, Riley. But and it was here good to hear from Jim.
Yeah.
He seems really, he seems like he's handling things very well.
Yes.
And that's good to hear.
Yes.
That's good that you had hit it on the button when you said that. You know what I'm saying? That was like, what, 85% or 75%?
Yeah, it is. It is at least 75% is attitude. You betcha it is.
Yeah, because I always tell people, we used to be up and down Lakeshore Drive taking stuff to the back to Patillo Bandshell and stuff. You know, we did a lot of catering for backstage. And she would sneak her little minivan. We weren't close. She wasn't supposed to be on there. Time to let my friend, we went to St. Mary's and Washburn together. And she really did a really nice job on everything she did. And she was always thinking of some more creative stuff to add to it. And we'd be running late. And so I said, you know, I told people, if you had a flat tire, what do? If you panic, you lost. You can't, you just lost. If you lose your all wherewithal, then it's just, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You got to have your, you have to maintain a sense of calmness. Once you lose it, you lose any kind of thought pattern of what to do next kind of. But anyway, I had a funny story. I've been trying to think of this story. And I have a lot of them, but I laid off them for a while. But I'm going to tell you this one because it was really funny. One day, this is when I was house sitting for Lois Weisberg, who was director of the Office of Special Events at that time. And I was working for another catering company. And we used to do Luther all the time and Jam Productions with whatever that guy's name was. But this particular time, you know those writer sheets?
Oh, sure.
Writer sheets. Okay. Well, I had never heard of one. That's one thing. That's why I said when I think back on all the different things I was exposed to. Okay, the writer sheet was up there. So I came in, and I would come in at night. And we were really busy.
Yeah.
I would come in at night, run to the basement, make sure my jackets, I keep them clean on a daily basis. Throw it in the washer. And the next morning, pour a shower, throw it in the dryer.
Yeah.
That's from the third floor. Okay, so I take a cab to 87th Street and Stony. So I got in, and so I was working with two young ladies who were like senior junior high school, and I'm reading the writer sheet, and it says, iced tea. So I said, well, I better get this iced tea out of the way first. And the girl just buckled down and laughed. It was, they were doing, that's when all that stuff, they were doing a concert in Indiana.
Okay.
A whole bunch of them. It was iced tea on the concert, not iced tea on the menu.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, those are lead sheets, of course.
But they about laughed me out of the kitchen, because when I came in, I said, I better get this. Let me make this tea first.
Yeah.
I said, come on, y'all. Help me get this pot full of water so I can get the iced tea out the way. They laughed so hard. And guess what? That name has held after all these years. That was so, remarkable for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, before I forget my song,
okay.
It's another one I have to sing the first line. You ready?
Yeah.
Fasten your seatbelt.
Okay.
He don't love you like I love you.
He will break your heart. Right. The song is, the title is "He Will Break Your Heart," and it's Jerry Butler. And everybody always calls it "He Don't Love You." And so when Tony Orlando covered it, that's what he called it. But the record was "He Will Break Your Heart" by Jerry Butler.
See, I know these songs, but I don't know the names and the artists. You know?
Now you do.
That's why I can never look them up on YouTube. I've been singing that song all week. Okay, now, one more thing, and I ain't trying to cause no confusion, but I'm going to be very crystal clear, because I thought about it, and I said, you know, your form is so delightful and so positive, I won't cause no confusion. But I was not worried about the bag. What bothered me is they put those recyclables. That one election, they ran all over Chicago and put those recycle bins in all the alleys. You know, this is a recycle bin. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I was really upset that they had the nerve to be charging 10 cents.
Yeah.
I got to pay it when I have to. But what I really thought when I first wanted to make the call, I wanted people to let people know the issue is not the price of the bag, but y'all better watch out, because them bags, remember when we talked about the peanut butter jars and when we first had that other recession and the bottoms of the jars went up higher?
Right.
The packaging was smaller. They put less in this and then the other. The cookies, I swear those grandma's cookies,
uh-huh.
I swear they couldn't make them any more smaller that you didn't notice. But they're not the same size, okay? But the thing about the bags, is they're really playing us. They talk all this recycled stuff, plastic, styrofoam. And then got the nerve, but these bags that they've come out with now—the two things I noticed, Riley, was that it takes something to get a bag of tape. So, and I don't have a problem with that. Excuse me, it takes some strength to open up some packaging, okay? And I don't think that's a bad idea. But when you sell them bags, and then this bag was solid, it literally the handles separated from the bag. And but the first thing I noticed, like I said, the potato chip bags were poking holes in the bag itself. And I just, well, it was just a kind of thing, a consumer thing. But to feel better, I called earlier tonight. I want to give
good. I'm delighted that you did. And I will definitely get Jerry Butler on for you.
Oh, and one more thing. What about that man and his granddaughter? What happened with
you? You know, Sam, Sam and Emery. And Sam has not called back, which I find interesting. Sam, if you're listening, of course, every line's lit up right now, so it might be hard. But, we want to know, because there was supposed to be a court hearing this month. So unless it's coming up this week, it should have happened here in the last few days. So hopefully Sam will enlighten us.
And that woman with all them chickens. What happened to all them chickens?
See, exactly. And I still wonder how she got them. Yeah, there's someone else was in that story. She did not do that alone.
What happened to them chickens? Okay, you take care.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay,
bye. Yeah, where they went, that's not the problem. Where she got them from. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. Now, I have just freed up a line from Tubby. So, Sam, if you're listening and you have an update, call us. Now, after the news, we'll get to Naoto first because he's hanging on from Japan. Yeah, it's further than anybody else, I'll tell you what. We'll also get Mike from Cleveland's requests and Chuck from Downers Grove's requests, and we'll hear from... Excuse me. We'll hear, yeah, and you know, I could have blocked that, but shows you how lazy I am. We'll hear from Laura in Willowbrook on rehearsals. Yeah, she's doing that. All right, it's a good story. And then, of course, Jim and I will reminisce about God knows what in New Orleans radio coming up on WGN Radio.
And gown, you'll be so pretty in your cap and gown, but I'll imagine it's a wedding gown on our graduation day. On your head, you're gonna wear a graduation ring, but I'll imagine it's a wedding ring on our graduation day. When they sing the alma mater, I will sing along, but a voice deep down inside me will sing the wedding song. I love you, and if my graduation wish comes true, what I imagine you'll imagine too on our graduation day. When they sing the alma mater.
WGN Radio. I'm Ronnie James. And John can see you queuing records. Well, yeah, that's how you play the 45s. Indeed, and it was actually James who wanted to hear some Marty Robbins. I think he wanted Big Iron, but I thought, you know, I bet you no one's ever heard Cap and Gown, so now you have. All right, 888-876-5593. Naoto is in Japan. Naoto, what's up tonight?
Yeah, I heard that I was listening to your show maybe like 2 days ago.
Uh-huh.
And I think you said that you might take the MBTI test.
I'm thinking about it. You know, I've never taken it. Now they have one online. Is that really the right 93 questions?
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually haven't taken the official one.
Uh huh.
So maybe it's the same one I took.
So let me ask you, what did you come out as?
I was INTP.
All right. All right. Well, I'm gonna take it. Now, of course, this is self-perception, so I'm not sure I'm not the most perceptive person when it comes to myself. So I'm really I'm really curious to see if I can actually answer the questions.
it's really interesting. Some people always came out like different personality types.
Yeah.
Every time they took, so...
Oh, that's really interesting. God, you know, that'd be funny if some HR director decided that they were going to give the test, like, every quarter to see how it came out among their own employees. I'd love that. That'd be great.
Yeah. But my hunch is that you are probably INTP.
Yeah?
My hunch? Yeah, maybe completely wrong, but I feel like the way you answer the question and, you know, talk to callers, it's kind of similar to me, you know, like,
okay.
I find it very natural, so...
Well, I promise I will do this. I know there's a few online, like, and I'll let you know on Monday Night Trivia how I come out.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks for calling. So, good deal. Yeah, and Naoto is just, he aces those Myers-Briggs types, 16 personality types. You're one of them. And they do have a 93-question test. And I don't know that I'm the most self-perceptive person. Yeah, okay, I'm downright autistic. But that said, I'll take it and see how I do. But what I was most curious about, actually, was not how I'd come out, but when faced with the type questions that are on this, whether I could even answer them. You know, or whether it be like neutral on everything. I don't know if neutral's a guess. All right, well, it shouldn't be a guess, no matter what I guess. Now that I think about it, but we'll find out. Yeah, and I have had, you know, in my younger days when I actually went to, you know, went to job application type interviews, you know, it wasn't often, but I remember one, I'd been out of work for a while. I didn't want to work, of course, but, you know, the money was going to run out and I was going to have to. And a friend of mine said, well, it was a radio station in Los Angeles. In fact, I'll tell you which one, KFWB. And they said they wanted to interview me and for news. And so I remember this so well because the program director apparently had some HR questionnaires. And do you get lonely at Christmas time? I mean, that literally was one of the questions. I said, why are you looking people to work extra shifts on holidays? And so, I just want to get to know you. Oh, God. Needless to say, I wasn't terribly interested in the job. But the general manager was fine looking guy, Frank Oxerart. Yeah, I guess if he's still with us, he'd be in his 90s now. But I remember thinking to myself, well, that's eye candy. Anyway, needless to say, it didn't work out, which I was thrilled about. I later found out that it was actually Frank who listened to me on a different station, and he liked the way I did the news, but he didn't understand that that was not going to work on KFWB. Yeah. All right. So with that in mind, let's see what Mike in Cleveland has to say for his bad self. Hello, Mike.
How you been, Molly?
Oh, I'm here. So how about you?
Oh, it's been a while.
Yes. What have you been doing?
Yeah, not much.
Yeah.
So thinking about going back to work pretty soon.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's a security guard job.
Yeah,
you
right.
Don't do hardly anything sometimes.
Yeah, that can be good. The hours can be a bitch, but other than that, yeah. Well, if you do, I'll keep you company from 10 to 1 or 11 to 2.
Oh, yeah? Hmm. Well, like you have for many years.
Yeah, well, thank you. Now, so you have a request.
Yes, a couple.
Okay.
Skyliners, I Die.
Oh, yes. I love I Die. Yes, that's the flip side of Since I Don't Have You.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Nat King Cole.
Uh-huh.
That's all there is to that.
Okay. No, I played That's All earlier, but That's All There Is to That. Okay. You'll get
it. And the Pointer Sisters, Should I Do It?
Okay.
Well, That's my aim for the week, then.
Well, very good, and thank you for calling. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Don't be such a stranger.
Oh, okay. You and John have a good night, though.
You too. Okay, bye. All right. So, yeah, it's been a while for Mike. I'm glad he checked in. Now, 888-876-5593. All right. Chuck in Downers Grove has requests. So you do you, Chuck? All right. What are they?
Yeah, hi, Raleigh. I was wondering if you could put this on your list. It was Once Upon a Time by Rochelle and the Candles.
Yes, exactly. That's Rochelle without an E at the end because Rochelle Henderson was a guy. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a great tune.
Yeah.
And how about Earl Lewis, My Love Will Never Die? That was the channel.
Yes,
Isn't
it was.
That right?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I know. You know what? You got the best show on the radio because I really love doo-wop music.
Yeah.
And I know me and you have that in common.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought I knew a lot about it, but I don't come anywhere near what you know. You are so up on your and you know, 50s rock, the heart and soul of 50s rock was the forgotten third, which was the doo-wop music.
Great. I agree. But, you know, everybody knows something more than the next guy, and I don't hold a candle to Val Shively. Now, he does know it all. But yeah, I know a little. He knows it all.
Well, if there was ever a trivia contest for oldies, I'd want you on my team.
Well, thank you for that. At least I know there's 13 U's, and Since I Don't Have You. All right.
Right?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Well,
thanks
all right,
for calling.
I know you got other callers, so you have a good night, and take care, all right?
You too. Thanks for calling.
Okay, right. Bye-bye.
Good deal. So let's see, trying to knock him out of the park now. It says James on the south side. You can't possibly have another request. I've got like a dozen of them for you already.
Okay, I'll just give one of the four that I had in my hand.
Four, God help
one,
me.
One, just one of okay. them. Just one of the yes. four. Okay, I will. Okay, Mr. Dream Merchant by Jerry
Oh,
Butler.
I love that record. I love that record. All right, yes, it's the absolute best. All right, you'll definitely hear that.
Okay, right. Thank you for
Thanks.
Playing these Mari Robbins. Yeah. I hadn't heard that one, really.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Did you like it?
Yes.
All right, good deal. Glad I introduced you to one. And you will get Mr. Dream Merchant. Thanks.
Okay.
All right, good deal. Yeah, that's a favorite of mine, too. Now, let's see, what am I doing? Well, I never know that. Oh, we're going to talk to Steve Bryan about Atlantic City Radio. That's going to be a lot of fun. But Laura in Willowbrook, you know, she's now a producer, or director. What actually are you? What's the title for this? Laura? Laura hung up. Well, she's producer. She's doing a play, and the rehearsals are happening. She picked out all the cast and all that, and if she doesn't call back tonight... Laura, if you're listening, I don't know if you're or not, maybe you fell asleep, sleep is sacred, I will ask you to be my first caller tomorrow night, Thursday night at 10 o'clock, and we'll hear all about your rehearsals. That's what I want you to do. And I'll talk to Steve Bryant in Las Vegas. Welcome back to WGN Radio. How are you, Steve?
Hello, Raleigh. How are you and John? I hope you're feeling better.
Yeah, how's the knee?
It's the hip.
Oh, it's the hip. I'm sorry. How is the hip?
That's okay. That's okay. Well, actually, the knees are next because that's a whole other story.
Well, yeah, I remembered you telling me about that. I guess that's why I think about it. But how is the hip? Did it work?
No. The experimental therapy with the stem cells.
Yes.
Yeah, that didn't work. There's going to be a hip. That's okay. A hip replacement coming up.
Oh, God.
I know. I did all the preliminaries. I got to go. You got to see your family doctor and all that.
Oh, of course. Yes, because they're going to give you general anesthesia. They want to make sure they don't kill you.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. They got. Well, that was funny. One time when I had surgery at MD Anderson in Houston. For some reason, the entire anesthesiology, I can say that
word. Yeah, right.
The entire anesthesiology department, they're all Sikhs. They all had turbans.
Okay.
And they, you know, okay, fine. I'm good with that.
Absolutely.
And I sit down with a guy to have the consults for the anesthesia, and he says, you know you could die.
Right.
I said, hold on a second. I said, let me hazard a guess here. I said, you were absent the day they taught bedside manner, weren't you? You know, a couple of the assistants started to laugh. He had no idea what I was saying.
And I would look right at him and say, only if you screw up.
Yeah. Can I please talk to the guy who wakes me up? I don't
yeah.
even talk to you.
Oh, man. Yeah. I know. I don't even like the concept of general anesthesia, bringing you to the brink of death.
Exactly. Exactly. That's it. But anyway, if you have a quick moment, something that just floats in my mind. Back in the 1990s, I was driving on the Atlantic City Expressway, one of the worst designed superhighways in the world.
Yeah.
It's privately owned. It's a profit center. They make a fortune off of that road, the corporation that owns it. And they said, well, they have state police. Well, I hired the state police to come in and patrol the road. And on the Atlantic City Expressway, it takes several weird jogs. It mm-hmm. goes in directions it shouldn't go, and that's only so that it hits the districts of different politicians who were supporting it.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, as I've talked about New Jersey, this is a state that has the traffic judges on commission. That says it all.
But bingo, that's exactly right. Well, anyway, riding on the Atlantic City Expressway, there were billboards. Every couple of miles, there's a big billboard for Atlantic City Casino Radio. And what this was they actually buried, I guess, a wire. I'm assuming it's carrier current.
Right.
They buried a wire in the entire shoulder of the Atlantic City Expressway for 44 miles. And they had a radio station that would broadcast advertisements for the casinos, and interviews with the celebrities that were going to play the casinos. Because back in the 1990s, there was hope that Atlantic City wouldn't become a toilet, which it did. But back then, we were hopeful. But this radio station was the weirdest thing you want to hear. I mean, billboards advertising it, you could only get it in your car. Of course, you could only get it there. And I believe it was AM, if I'm not mistaken. Might have been, I think it was AM. But it was so weird. And it was on tape, and they would loop it every 15 minutes. They would say, appearing at Caesars and appearing as a, and that was back when anybody worthwhile would appear in Atlantic City. Now it's the revamped Johnny Paleo and the Harmonica Rascals, I think, are playing at Caesars, if that's still open.
You know where they got the idea, don't you?
Where?
All right. Okay. Someone out of their mind decided that they would put two desert radio stations on I-15, and they put the studio in Barstow on the second floor of the McDonald's. All right, I'm not making any sense. Yes, the McDonald's had a second floor. Don't even ask. But anyhow, yes, it was there. And so I think it was KRXV, for 15 was one of the callers. And so it was 99 and 98. And what it was for years was Broadway show tunes, meant to be Las Vegas show tunes, advertisements for all the casinos and interviews. They did this. They did this for years, and most people saw it if they were going to the McDonald's in Barstow there, because the bathrooms were on the second floor, and so you saw the studio with that. But I believe it's gone from what it was to a highway vibe, and I think that's what they are now. The 98.99 FM, the highway vibe, and they got a third station. I don't know if it's translated or not. But yeah, 99.7, 98.9, and 98.1. Yes, everything Vegas. Oh, yeah.
Everything Vegas. Yeah, I'll be darned.
This was around 40 years ago. So,
I mean, good for them, because the thing in Atlantic City folded. I mean, crashed or burned.
Yeah, well, you usually do need a transmitter. I mean, it's just that simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, once you drove 30 feet off the Atlantic City Expressway, you didn't get the radio station anymore. I mean, it was gone. They did have a studio in Atlantic City.
Yeah.
They built it. It was actually rather nice. I went in. I wanted to see it, so I went in one day, and I got a tour. But the only way I got a tour was that nobody was there.
Oh, perfect.
And the door was wide open. I'm walking around. I said, two turntables. That's nice. There's some cart. We still had cart machines. Okay, fine. And nobody was there. I stayed for about 15 minutes. I figured they might be out getting a bite to eat or something. And I just left. But they had a nice little studio that, and you knew it was them because you heard it playing in the background there, and you saw the big, 15-inch reels that were playing the tape.
Yeah.
Of the program. But it was just an interesting, it's funny, it's an interesting concept. I mean, I give them credit for trying to make it work, but, cars going to Atlantic City.
There's another problem with that, though. You see, the whole thing of KRXV, and I know they don't have those callers anymore, but that's what they were, was the fact that they were, quote-unquote, a captive audience. Because when you're driving I-15 like that, you got several hours where there ain't no radio. And so so you're listening to this because today there's a couple things. But back then it was that or nothing. And that's the way they'd sell it as well. And, they would, things like 14 million tourists and 35% of them don't know where they're staying. I don't know how they came up with that.
Okay.
But I love that. And, it's like, what do you mean? If they don't know where they're staying, they probably don't know where they're going.
That's right. So, it might be a day trip.
Or they keep going. I don't know. But they're strategically placed towers. But you see, Atlantic City, it's tons of radio. I mean, on the Atlantic City Expressway, you can't get away from radio there. So
it's everywhere. That was my hometown radio.
Yeah.
Well,
and
starting with
WMID when Merv Griffin owned it, was a wonderful radio station.
It was.
Yeah,
absolutely. It really was.
I still have a T-shirt.
It really was.
Yeah. But
oh,
now,
wow.
Now, let me ask you, do you know who the brain trust was behind Casino Radio? Because it wasn't a radio station, so I can't look it up.
I don't. I've been looking and looking, all I can find are things about maybe traffic repeaters or something.
Oh, great.
You know, but no, I even used artificial intelligence to do a deep dive. And it's not there, but I know it was there because I used to listen
right,
to it.
Right, no, of course it was, yeah.
It fascinated me.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, that's great.
The awards and the whole thing, and I just, ah.
Oh, God. But
yeah, nothing.
John is saying, shut up, I'm blowing the news again.
Gotta go. Okay.
So, yes, keep me posted on your hip. I want to know.
I shall. Thank you,
all right,
you,
thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Good memories. Oh. All right, so now I want to know. All right, I'll see if we can find out right after the news on WGN Radio.
Everything depends on you. Oh, hey, Mr. Dreamcatcher, bring her back to me and make my dream come true. When I said goodbye to my love, I didn't mean to make her cry. I didn't realize that I loved. Now I need her by my side. Hey, it's the dream person. Everything depends on you. Oh, hey, it's the dream. You should have told the spoon to stop it.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and see what happens when you request a record I love? You hear it pretty quickly. Jerry Butler, Mr. Dream Merchant on Mercury, 1967, co-written by Jerry Ross and produced by Jerry Ross. Jerry Ross was one of my biggest disappointments, and he actually became a good friend as far as that goes. But when I heard that I was going to have Jerry Ross on the air with me when I got to Philadelphia, I was beside myself, of course, because there were so many Jerry Ross productions that I adored, Cicero Blake and others. So there were a number, and so maybe it wasn't Cicero, but anyway, I had a list of things, and so I get him in the studio, and what I discovered in short order, that Jerry remembered the records that made him money. All right, the flops, he barely recalled them, if at all. He said, really? I don't know. So it was an interesting interview all the way around, but a great big disappointment. But Mr. Dream Merchant, he remembered that. That was pretty successful, all things being equal. All right, now, I hope that Steve Bryant is listening because I have solved a riddle. I know all about this now. Yeah, more than I ever wanted to. It was known as Radio Road. It was 5:30 a.m. It was located near Hamilton. And it was a private enterprise. The signal was transmitted from the cable laid beneath the roadside that Steve mentioned. And it alerted Hamilton motorists heading east to Radio Road because he put it strategically where you begin to lose reception of Philadelphia radio. The president was Russ Paul. Now, not Russ Paul, Les Paul's son. This is a different Russ Paul. This is a guy who had been a disc jockey on WFPG for a little while. And anyway, he decided that this was the way to go because what happened was he went to Orlando, and what he heard in Orlando was kind of like a Disney radio deal, and he thought, well, I could do that. I mean, if they do that, why don't I do that? And so that's pretty much what it was. It was a lot like the emergency messages that you hear in low power AM, but as Steve was mentioning, this was cabled. So he was from Mantua, and he died, I think, in 2020. And yes, and the New York Times did an article on him in 1998, actually. Expressway goes on the air. And, you know, it also talks about the freeway, well, the expressway, which Farley's Folly, yes, the brainchild of the late Senator Frank S. Hap Farley, That's right. Gamblers and all account for about half of the toll road's traffic. The other users are usually going to Cape May or in the other direction, of course, to Philadelphia and all that. And so that was the deal. And, of course, as Steve mentioned, private road, absolutely, and had an executive director. And who was also the mayor of Linwood, don't you know? And he always referred to as one of the safest roads in the country. So, of course, he was willing to make a deal. That's right. Come on down. And so Radio Road at 5:30 on the AM dial, a private enterprise, enter Russ Paul, carrying expressway traffic reports and emergency messages as part of its programming, is designed to sell commercials for casinos. And Russ Paul, after being on WFUG, became a lawyer in Woodbury. And but the deal he did, by the way, because this was absolutely commercial, because again, it's not licensed as a non-commercial, you know, or a Part 15 or anything like that. It's he's cabled the ground. The private Atlantic City Expressway Authority gets between 12 and 18% of the gross receipts from the commercials. And in the first year alone, it received over $25,000. And so the expressway was very pleased with the arrangement because they could interrupt the regular programming with emergency messages if necessary. And so that was the deal there. So that's it. And there you go. So that's it. It absolutely was there. Steve was not dreaming it. Radio Road, 5:30 a.m. Yeah, all right. So now you know. All right. Well, that was easier than finding the Schools Out record, which I said I'd do, and I will, but I don't know. So let's see. Isaac has a question about a movie. Yeah, well, it's not for me, clearly. It's for you. So if you're listening and you're a movie buff, Isaac, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. Good morning.
Yes.
Whatever. Okay, the movie, I don't know the name of the movie. I don't know who stars in the movie. John was trying to figure it out himself. This is what I can remember about it. I think it takes place in the 70s. I think bell bottoms were prevalent in the movie. Not prevalent, but, you know, they wore bell bottoms.
Yeah.
I think it was, well, in my little kid eyes, it was a scary movie, and I remember specifically in the movie, at some point, a guy appears in the window. He has white hair, white eyeballs, and he's wearing a white suit. And I think they were maybe chasing after a mom and her son or something like that. And I remember them going through the hills of San Francisco, the urban setting of San Francisco. I can't tell you anything else about it. I watched it on MeTV like when I was, I don't know, maybe in eighth grade or something like that. And I've never forgotten this guy with these white eyes and how scary it was to me. And that's all I can come up with. I hope that maybe one of the listeners has a clue. I know that Raleigh James is not.
Well, that's that. You're absolutely right. As far as that goes, but I love it. I'm sure you've done deep dives online as far as that goes.
Did the movie even exist? Was I dreaming?
No, of course you weren't. But it's probably some fairly low budget thing, it sounds like, and that's the problem. you know, but there were a ton of them, that's for sure. But we know it wasn't Dirty Harry. I mean, you know, San Francisco movies, but it wasn't that.
And I just imagine maybe I don't know any other place that has hills like that, so I assume that it was San Francisco. I just know they were driving up and down hills, and you know that's the only place I can.
It might not have been San Francisco.
I'm pretty sure it was, because these hills were pretty steep, and you know it was an urban setting, so you know, isn't San Francisco known for the hills?
Well, there's a lot of hilly cities.
Really?
What? John's saying what?
Fritz Lang's last movie, he's a German filmmaker, had a character like that.
Okay, and we
have... Yeah, he was saying...
Wait, here's a Wes Craven movie, too. Based on the... Let's see what this is. The Hills Have Eyes, 1977, directed by Wes Craven. Based on the legend of Scottish cannibal. No, it's not a cannibal. What was that movie, John? He'll come back and tell me. And I don't know. Who was this guy whose last movie it was?
Fritz Lang.
Last movie?
Okay.
Let's see what we can see about what that.
No, not The Hills Have Eyes.
Okay, so it's not that. Well, now Fritz Lang, no. His final film, that was 1960.
Yeah, it would be black and white.
Was it black and white?
No, it was in color.
It was in color and was 1970. All right.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, you know, in the 70s.
Yeah, in the 70s somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Would this be considered to be a horror movie?
I think it was. I think, I don't, no, not a horror. I don't think it was horror, per se. I just remember being afraid. I think maybe detective-wise. I think it might have been like a detective movie or something like that.
Okay.
Not a detective, but you know, like a cop movie or something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
That's something I can get. Have one other thing.
It wasn't foul play. Of course, that was a comedy. Foul play was a comedy, I think. But let's see. So it wasn't funny, basically. You're sure about that?
No, it wasn't. I don't remember it being funny. No.
Okay.
At least not my little self.
Well, right. Exactly. It wasn't foul play. That had Goldie Hawn and Chevy Chase. It's not that. All right.
No, so, I would remember Goldie.
Yeah,
Hawn.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that would have been somewhat of a box office hit, if nothing else, because of the people in it. All right.
Yeah.
The guy appears in a window with white hair, white eyeballs, white suit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. That'll keep you up all night. Yeah.
That's like the chicken heart. KFC guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, right. It wasn't Colonel Sanders. All right.
No, it was not him, no.
But I do
have one other question. You know, right now, there is a character, I'm sure you don't know who she is. Her name is Miss Shirley. She's a little child. And people are believing that she might be being worked by her parents, like, you know, in show business and things, and like overworked. And so people keep bringing up the idea of Shirley Temple.
Uh-huh.
And but they're also hinting at some sort of like sexual abuse and things like that. And I'm like, was the story, I know that Shirley Temple, I know when she went to go get her money, all the money was gone. But was the story of Shirley Temple, is it do we look back on it with, you know, like, is it a sad story? Do we have pity for Shirley Temple? Like, was she used that poorly?
Well, supposedly when she was 12 years old, she was abused. But, she actually was interviewed about that. And what it was she, an MGM producer, Arthur Freed, invited her.
I heard
that. Yeah, go to the office and talk about her first and only movie with the studio, as far as that goes. And so it's in her autobiography. She says that Freed stood up and unzipped his pants and exposed himself.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, using a line from a Shirley Temple made movie when she was 3 and said, "I have something made just for you. You'll be my new star." Shirley Temple had never seen a nude man, so she laughed. And he got so angry that he'd get out of my office. But she made the movie, but she never worked with MGM again, as far as I. But yeah, that's in her autobiography. But that was that was more of a one off. And what is interesting is that supposedly he did this to other things like that. But he's the guy who got Judy Garland hooked on amphetamines. As far as that goes. But he tried to get Debbie Reynolds to use amphetamines, and she refused. Good for her.
It is. Now, but people talk about, they say that, you know, because this whole conversation came up, they talk about her first role in Hollywood, where she plays, quote unquote, a prostitute. She was 3 years old. And it was a film, you know, where everybody was preschoolers in the film. And, you know, it's kind of like
It was baby burlesques. It was shorts.
Yeah.
And it was parodies. There were parodies.
Yes, that's what I was explaining. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel that people don't understand that today. They say, well, she played a prostitute at 3 years
no,
old.
No, like, no, no, no.
Do you really think that?
Yeah, these were parodies. Exactly. So
we don't look back on Shirley Temple and cringe at her
work. No, absolutely not.
Okay. You know, I was surprised to find out that she only died in 2015. She lived, you know, quite a, you know, she was
here long enough to talk about these things.
Yeah, and write about them. You know, she wrote her autobiography and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So
and people look back on it. I'm talking about productions that were done 90 years ago, and they're in the comment section, oh, my God, I can't believe that she had to work like that.
Please.
And I'm like, what did she go through? I know that the experience at 12 years old, but from what I, you know, listening to her interviews,
yeah, it didn't mark her for life or anything like that. And of course, she, you know, she was ambassador to Ghana of all things and stuff like
Hello.
That.
Hello.
Yeah, no, she was fine.
I hate that people have changed, they have put this narrative.
Well,
for
they probably never, these were shorts. This was a 10-minute film satirizing.
And it's 90 years old. It's 91
and
years old.
It was
you
using,
can barely understand what they're saying.
Right, it was using preschool kids in every role of the movie. It was not just her, not like she's appearing with adults. It wasn't like what can I say?
It gets my gears going. But that's all I have to say, Raleigh. I hope this
hang on, don't go away. Stay right where you are because Steve Bryant may know the movie. All right. So this is exciting. And of course, Steve knows all. So we're going to bring Steve on here, assuming that I don't disconnect everybody in the process. I'm trying not to. Well, let me first put Isaac on hold and get to Steve, hopefully here. Now I can't move that. What's going on? All right. We'll get to Steve is here. And well, he will be in a moment. And now we're going to Isaac here. And this should work. All right. So Steve and Isaac. Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Isaac.
All right.
Hi.
Isaac, I think the movie is the James Bond film, A View to a Kill. You described the villain perfectly in the whole San Francisco thing. It just fits to the Roger Moore.
And you said
James
A Fit
Bond
to Kill?
A View to a Kill.
A View to a Kill, yeah.
Yeah. But the only thing is it's a little earlier. It was a 1965 movie. But no, it wasn't. It was a 1985 movie. I'm sorry. It was a 1985 movie. So this might be the wrong years. But you're describing one of the scenes in it, so it's probably worth to check out A View to a Kill.
I will. I'm looking it up now. I feel like if it was a Bond movie that I would have remembered, but maybe not. Maybe I didn't realize that's what it was.
Well,
okay, I'll give that.
It's the wrong Bond, of course. It's Roger Moore. It's not our favorite Sean Connery.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
I'll give that a look. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks, Isaac. I appreciate it. Now, Steve, Road Radio there. Now you know.
Radio Road, you nail it. Thank you. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah.
And very quickly, School's Out song, that wouldn't be the Alice Cooper song.
What this is, and you might remember it, I don't know, and the closest thing I came to is I had a record on Golden World, which I tried, but it wasn't that, but it starts out with the you know, little kids rhyme, you know, no more pencils, no more books, no more teachers, dirty looks, and just kind of, and then it goes into the song, you know, a School Is Out thing that was like late 50s, early 60s pop. And I'm trying to think of what it was that I played that actually kind of fit the theory, something on Golden World. And the deal, though, was that he didn't call back, so I don't know, but I don't think it is. But this is so familiar to me, and I cannot remember why.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like that. So drives me crazy, which you can understand.
I totally understand.
Absolutely. So that's the deal there. But yeah, if you can think of it, because you know that opening is very familiar to me. Because you know,
absolutely.
If it wasn't for the opening, I was thinking like High School USA or School Is Out by Gary U.S. Bonds, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. But it's not any of that. So
absolutely. Well, I'll start thinking about it. Thank you again for Radio Road. Boy, that put my mind at ease.
My pleasure. Yes. Russ Paul. Now we know.
It did.
All right.
Indeed. Well, thank you. And again, have a great night.
You too. All right. So I think that we have more business to take care of and probably not much time to do it. And so this is really bad news for anybody who is hanging on. And what I will ask, especially to Laura, who did call back. All right, Laura, I'm glad. But call me tomorrow early. And Jim in New Hampshire, I'm so sorry, because I love talking to Jim. But, you know, we never talk for 5 minutes. We talk for like 25 minutes. So I wanted to save some time. But if you call right away, Jim, you know, nobody calls me right at 10 o'clock. I mean, I'm looking for anything to talk about. So, but let's see. I think I have to do something. And if I do, it's WGN Radio.
If the sun should forget to shine, I don't
just too much and the show is over. And that was a request, and that was Mike in Cleveland. Yeah, when I like them, I play them. So I apologize to Jim, to Laura, to Sherry, and anybody else. And, you know, but 21 hours from now, I'll be talking to myself again, and I'll have plenty of time to talk to you. So call at 10. That's Central Time. And until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. It's a pleasure to do when you do. So do it again tomorrow on WGN Radio.